Hey, family, we've got Larry Washen on the phone with us right now. We've been talking outdoors. I was going to say we've been talking hunting, but we've been just talking the outdoors. We're talking about how it's such a wonderful thing to be outdoors, how great it is for having our youth in the hunting, to get out hunting, get out fishing, how wonderful it is. And then they go home and say, "Dad, you need to learn how to hunt." And then he wants to learn how to hunt, and he gets a hold of TWA, Texas Parks and Wildlife. They have these mentor programs where they teach them how to hunt, teach them how to camp, all this stuff. And then you're along with a big, huge organization, DSC, Dallas Safari Club, and they do so much in the helping get our youth into the pastures, our young adults into learning about this. And I mean, DSC is that's a big thing.
DSC to me is probably the finest conservation organization there is in the world. Actually, last weekend I was in Connecticut for their Northeastern chapter banquet, and you caught me this morning. Yep. Actually in Wyoming, Wyoming chapter meeting that's going on up here. We have got chapters scattered across the country and adding to those. And you're right, DSC is anything having to do with conservation, education, and hunter advocacy as well, too. And then we've been talking about TWA through our DSC foundation that I was a member of the board of directors. I now serve as a special advisor to them. We have helped fund a lot of programs with not just TWA, but with very similar organizations. Maybe not quite what TWA is in my estimation, mm-hmm. but great organizations scattered across the country and even across the world. So, yes, DSC is, to me, as I mentioned, is conservation, education, and hunter advocacy, and the membership is worldwide, and our influence is worldwide, but we do a gosh-awful amount of work, particularly here and throughout North America as well, too.
And that's what it's all about. I mean, once these young adults, these young men, young women, they learn, you know, right now they say, y'all kill Bambi. No, we do not kill Bambi. We help harvest Bambi. We're making sure that Bambi doesn't just sit underneath a shade tree and die.
And starve to death. Exactly.
And starve to death. That's it. I mean, we have to be the one that does it. Trapping, you know, that's a lot of people. Oh, well, you shouldn't take animals. You shouldn't trap. Oh, okay. So have you ever, and I figured Larry probably has, I have hunted and trapped on the Callahan Ranch for years down South Texas.
Sir.
Mr. Finley took us, me and Daddy, one time to a heifer he had down, and he wanted to show it. This heifer she got down having a calf. The calf was eaten, and it was hanging about. Y'all don't get upset at the way I'm going to describe this. The calf was hanging about halfway out of her. The back half of it was eat up. The back half of the heifer was eat up. The heifer was still alive. Mr. Finley walked up there and shot her with a .22.
Right.
That's what coyotes do. That's why we have to control them. The good book, the Bible, it says we are the stewards of the land. We are the people that have to control the animals. So, you know, don't get mad at us for what we do. It's what we do helps you, because it doesn't make it where you go out in a pasture and you see 12 deer laying under a tree dead with matter in their eyes, and they either died of disease or bugs, you know, infestations. And it's just, you know, it's, Larry says, "Well, that's so and so, Ken. That's so and so." Yeah, okay. But I don't know what the name of that stuff is, but it just Macy Ledbetter, he said it the best. He says, "Ken," I said, "Yeah, Macy." I was talking about one time it was dry, and we had. I said, "How do we control this. He says, Ken, you still got shells and you out there? Yeah. He says, box shells is a hell of a lot cheaper than me. I says, okay, I understand now. That's
he's right in every respect. And the other thing is that when habitat is destroyed, like when animals are overpopulated and they destroy the habitat, that animal population can bounce back quickly. That habitat takes eons to come back. And so in a good management program where you're managing, whether it's for white-tailed deer, mule deer, elk, turkeys, quail, whatever, waterfowl, whatever you want to say is a targeted species, if you do everything right, which so many people do these days in terms of habitat, that targeted species benefits from it. But those other animals, including the butterflies and the bugs and the little critters and reptiles and birds and songbirds and everything else, benefit so much more because of that healthy habitat. And that's where hunting plays in so very important. It's for us to properly manage that habitat, and properly managing the habitat includes the removal of certain animals, whether it's herbivores such as white-tailed deer or mule deer or elk, or if it's predators, keep that population in check for keeping that population in check kind of thing. So hunting is so important. You know, if somebody really loves white-tailed deer or loves animals, or you tell me an animal you like, if you can better bet, I will bet that you could go thank a hunter, or you should be thanking a hunter, because were it not for that hunter, the $100 and the work that hunting does in terms of habitat, those animals wouldn't exist. So if you love wildlife, buy a hunting license and thank a hunter, by golly.
Yep.
it's as simple as that.
I had Charlie, and I can't think of Charlie's last name, EWA, Exotic Wildlife Association.
Charlie Seal.
Had him on not too long ago, and we got to talking about the long sweeping horns, the animals, black on one end, white on the other end.
Talking about similar horn of work.
You got it. I knew what it was. I just couldn't think of the name of it. But
I understand that.
We have so many of them here in Texas that are in high fence ranches, but where they're from in Africa, they are extinct.
They're gone. But for a lot of different reasons, for poaching, among other things, and habitat destruction and all those other kind of things that can bring a population down. And you're right, we have more similar horned orcs here. And that's the same thing is true for black buck antelope, which are from the plains of India, and also for axis deer, which are in the southern part of India, in the hills, and primarily where the tigers live. But we have so many more of those here now than they do in their home country. And actually, in some instances, we have sent animals from here back to their native lands.
Scimitar horned orcs.
Absolutely, to try to help reestablish some of those populations.
Charlie says, and Kent, he said, we had to send them twice. I says, why'd you have to send them twice? Well, they're such a good eating. They got ate the first bunch we took over there, got eaten. Yeah. I said, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I can assure you they are good eating.
Oh, yes, they're good eating. Everything you name, by the way, is the axis, the black buck antelope, the scimitar horn. That scimitar horn. That's like eating. Oh, I won't. It's good. it's better than elk. It's better than axis. Yeah. And it's better than Nilgai, and those are my three of my top.
Well, you've got good taste, I'll tell you that.
But that orcs, wow, that's all I'll say. Now, I will say I was hunting with a cat. We were hunting was hunting elk in New Mexico. And my guide, he says, Ken, reach in that freezer and grab that, told me what bag to find. And he's pulled that out, and we're going to thaw it out, and we're going to have that for supper. So I pulled it out, and I looked at that meat, and once it thawed out, and I'm sitting there, that don't look right. And I'm sitting there, I wouldn't ask him what it was. And finally, he says, Kit, would you help me prepare that? Sure. Salt and pepper, and roll it in a little egg wash, and roll it in flour, and deep fried it. And was sitting there, and finally I started eating. I said, this is good. And I told him, what is it? He looked at me and said, Ken, this is cougar. Yes. I says, no way. I had never eaten no cat, but that was some of the best eating I ever ate.
Mountain lion is really, really good. We took one years ago that had been eating a skunk. That skunk did take the meat just a little bit.
But
it was still absolutely delicious, by God.
I have to tell you this. After eating that, we caught a bobcat, and once we skinned it out, I barbecued it, and let me tell you, it's good. Barbecued bobcat is good.
It is delicious. It is both the mountain lion and the bobcat are a little bit lighter colored meat than what you think they would be, but oh my gosh, they're delicious.
Hey, Larry, we got a break here. Let's pick it up on the other side, and we'll keep going, and we've got to let the station make a little money.
Amen. I agree.
Hey, family, we'll see you back on the other side talking to Larry Washington. We'll see y'all in a bit.